abused parents. God understands how you feel. God has been where you are. The Father understands what it's like to be abused by those you have created. This journey that we are about to embark upon was born out of a broken heart. Time after time, hurting parents would walk into my office seeking answers to bring back a rebellious child. I have wept because they were hurting and looking to me for answers, and I had none. I would prefer to say, "I don't know," than to give erroneous information to the people I love. This is the reason I am speaking on this subject. My prayer is that the words of these messages will give instruction to those whose children are not yet teens, help to those who have been called to minister to families, and practical advice to those hurting parents whose children have rebelled. If you are a hurting parent, God understands how you feel. God lost His children, Adam and Eve, and no one can say that He didn't raise them right either. He loved them, spent time with them, and gave them the best of everything. He carefully taught them what not to partake of. He made sure they understood that their future depended on their choices. He warned them of the consequences if they strayed from their upbringing. Nevertheless, a bad influence pulled them away and involved them in wrongdoing. When God confronted Adam and Eve, who acted somewhat like many of today's teenagers, they were evasive and placed blame for their actions elsewhere. Abused parents, God understands how you feel. God has been where you are. The Father understands what it's like to be abused by those you have created. Listen carefully to the words of the Father. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And you can also be very sure that God will rescue the children of the godly. Since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? If you want favor with both God and man and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. These are the words of the writer of the book of Proverbs. The prophet Isaiah also said, "He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Trust in the Lord God always, for in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength." Jeremiah said, "But the Lord says, don't cry any longer, for I have heard your prayers, and you will see them again. They will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." And finally, the prophet Habakkuk said, "But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day." Parents, Jesus also understands how you feel. Jesus knows what it's like to be a discouraged parent. After the death of Joseph, Jesus, being the eldest son, became the father of the family. His family rejected him, even saying that he was mad, and it was only after the resurrection that his brothers became believers. The nation of Israel also rejected Jesus, and you can feel Jesus' pain in many passages of Scripture. When Jesus was arrested, only Peter and John followed him, and Peter denied any knowledge of Jesus. And at the cross, only a few women followed Jesus, and John was the only disciple there. Parents, you're hurting because you feel like failures as parents. Because you're haunted by your thoughts, if only we'd done this or done that. Because other parents, some with younger children or some fortunate enough not to have had severe problems with their teenagers, look at you like you're failures. You're hurting because you're frustrated from going behind your kids cleaning up their messes. Because you've had to mix with people at work and at community functions or at church who know about your teen's problems. You're hurting because you wonder if you ought to give up your positions of leadership at church or in the community. You're hurting because you don't know for sure how to help your teen, or because you don't know what to do or what to think. Parents of defiant and misbehaving adolescents are often feeling angry, helpless, embarrassed, threatened or depressed, defensive, nervous, ill at ease, guilty, drained, humiliated, defeated, blamed, fearful, anxious, or intimidated. Only those who have been rejected by their child can fully comprehend the tidal wave of sorrow that crashes into one's life. Nothing else matters. There are no consoling thoughts. The future is without interest or hope, and emotions swing rapidly from despair to blame to hope and back to despair. The purpose of our discussion is not to add guilt to already hurting parents. When child-raising issues are discussed, many parents feel guilty because they did not teach the principles under discussion when their children were little. Most parents that I know were unaware of some of these child-raising principles, or they may have not even been saved at the time their children were small, and thus should not feel guilty. My purpose in sharing these messages is to give you principles that will work now, where your family is today. If your child is in rebellion against your authority, I will tell you what you can do. If your children are still small, then implement the principles we will discuss throughout our study. So the question we need to answer is, what is a prodigal, and who is to blame? The dictionary defines the word prodigal as a person who wastes his means. I would define a prodigal as a person who is wasting their life. They have left the ethical values of godly homes to adopt unbiblical beliefs, worldly values, and harmful lifestyles. The person who adopts this lifestyle is a prodigal, whether or not they ever leave home. When a child rebels, many parents feel that God has let them down. All of their lives they have believed that Proverbs 22:6 was a guarantee that their children would turn out right. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." It would help all of us as parents to remember that this passage is a maxim. It is not an airtight guarantee. Because we often forget this, we have done a great injustice against the ancient prophet who said it. To accept this scripture passage as an absolute is to establish a false faith. This false faith needs to be abandoned for a real faith, one that is based on truth. To interpret Proverbs 22:6 as a guarantee is actually accepting the humanistic doctrine called behavioral determinism. Briefly stated, that term means that we believe that a child's surroundings are the sole determining factor in what type of adult he becomes. We have been taught that if we give him nice parents, nice teachers, and a color TV, that he will turn out to be a nice person. Contemporary parents have been taught that children are born neutral and good. And if the children go wrong, it's not the child's fault, but someone or something else's. All behavior is caused, say the experts. The child chooses nothing. He merely responds to his experiences. If this theory was valid, the responsibility for every lie, every school failure, every act of defiance eventually is blamed on the teen's family. The biggest problem with this approach is that it tends to rob the individual of his will. The fact is that a child given every advantage in life may nevertheless choose to be a degenerate. The Bible is filled with illustrations of sons who rejected the faith of their fathers. Abraham was the father of Ishmael, Isaac the father of Esau. Jacob's son sold their younger brother Joseph into slavery. Samuel was the father of Joel and Abijah, and David was the father of Absalom. Eli was the father of Hophni and Phinehas, and Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. And on we could go through the Word of God. Let me interject a personal note at this point. If the theory of behavioral determinism was true, then it would also mean that those children raised in a non-Christian home could not become Christians and live for God. I'm thankful that this theory is not true, for if it was, then I, being raised by parents who were not Christians, would not be speaking to you today. Praise God! He lets us make our own choices. Proverbs 22:6 merely states a general rule. Good parents are less likely to produce problem children than bad parents, and bad parents are less likely to produce good children than good parents. There are no ironclad rules that say that good parenting always produces good children, and bad parenting always produces bad children.